Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Microx Limited quarterly business update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Rowland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kaylee, and welcome everyone. I'm Peter Rowland, and I'm pleased to welcome you all today to Microx's latest quarterly investor call. In the call today, I'll provide some commentary on our activities during the quarter ending September 2020, which we outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX on Thursday, 22nd October. I'll also provide some details on our future plans and outlook over the coming financial year before we open up to questions and answers. For those that are not able to attend, a recording of this call will be on our website shortly. We hope that this call continues to provide you with additional information about Microx and lets you hear about our progress. Now, before we begin, I'd like to welcome our Chief Financial Officer, Kingsley Hall, who is here with me on the call today.
Thanks, Peter. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be speaking with all of you today. Before we commence, I'd like to cover off on one brief formality, which is I'd like to remind everyone on the call today that the call may contain some forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements we make today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. I'll now hand back to Peter to run through the highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Firstly, let me begin by saying what an extremely busy quarter we've just had on a number of fronts, from both a commercial and a development perspective. We'll start by running through the highlights of our two commercialized products, the Nano and the Rover, and their respective activities before touching on the development of our upcoming products. Lastly, we'll discuss the progress of our mobile stroke CT application and touch on updates about our proposals to the U.S. Transportation Safety Administration, known, of course, to the U.S. travelers as the TSA. The shareholders are aware, since April this year, we've significantly increased our Nano production capacity, and we're pleased that we've now cleared the backlog of orders related to the initial COVID-19 demand. While the pattern of new Nano orders is fluid and hard to predict, sales discussions with Carestream, our global distributor, lead us to believe there is a near-term potential for increased demand. The escalating COVID-19 situation in the USA and Europe now looks very similar to the situation seen back in March and April of this year. I can assure all shareholders that our team is ready and able to meet any new Nano orders. We've ample Nano inventory, and our ramped up capacity will be able to react and meet short delivery times for customers. So while this quarter has been quieter in comparison to past quarters with around $400,000 of sales of Nano, we believe this could change very soon. On another commercial front, we're extremely proud to have secured a $1.4 million sales contract for our second product, the Rover, not long after we received FDA clearance back in July. As shareholders would have seen, this sale is destined for a number of Pacific Island nations. We understood that the World Health Organization has facilitated these Rover sales, and the unique capabilities of the Rover are ideally suited for those applications. This first contract is an early validation of our direct marketing strategy for Rover, and it sets the scene for a number of new applications and paths to market for this product, which are currently in planning and which we expect to be able to announce at a future time. As an extension of our Rover commercialization efforts, we've recently applied to the TGA for listing of the Rover on the Australian Register of Therapeutic Goods, which will add further domestic and indirect export sales opportunities. In the military sector, we have now sent two Rover units to the United States, where they will be used in a number of planned product demonstrations to the operational U.S. Army units which deploy medical field hospitals. These demonstrations will be led there by a Microx sales executive and involve mobility and imaging assessments by the military medical staff. Recent COVID-19 outbreaks have caused some difficulties with this demonstration program, with two of the targeted U.S. Army bases now closed, but planning for access to bases is still being progressed. Closer to home, the Australian Department of Defence has recently signed the prime contract for the ADF's Deployable Health Capability Program, JP2060, with Saab Australia, based here in Adelaide. Importantly for us in this process, Micro-X has been selected as the provider for the radiology segment for this project. We're now working with Saab Australia to finalise and execute a subcontract for our rover units in coming weeks. Would add that these commercial activities have been enabled by our strength and marketing capabilities, particularly with the appointment of Tennille Reid as Strategic Marketing Manager. Tennille is busily working on a number of fronts to improve our marketing collateral, to create effective customer communication channels and enhance the Micro-X brand. On to our development work, and we have continued to make good progress with our high-powered generator project. I'm pleased to report that we're on schedule to have an integrated benchtop prototype operating by the end of 2020, with the pre-production generators running in rover units from March next year, after which they will undergo compliance testing. The cost saving anticipated from this new design and from setting up its manufacture in-house in Tonsley is also on budget. The testing of our new design approach to the mobile backscatter imager project has been delayed recently as we've been waiting on a specialized detector, which is now finally en route from the UK. We have set up and run imaging tests using existing detector technology, and these have been very successful. We expect the final test to confirm a fourfold increase in system sensitivity over the imaging that we're achieving today. Proving this new imaging design will be a huge watershed for the MBI project, giving us a smaller, lighter, far simpler and cheaper product, which we will be able to bring to market much sooner. Our long-term strategy to grow a presence in the security market is also drawing closer to reality, with Micro-X being selected via a broad agency announcement and registration of interest process to submit full proposals to the TSA in connection with a program for a new concept of self-service airport security checkpoints. This program relates to the TSA's future vision of replacing the extant conventional CT or projection X-ray luggage imaging using the familiar belts and tunnels at checkpoints, with instead a bank of multiple self-service security portals. Prior to this proposal, Micro-X has won contracts with the UK government's Department for Transport in their Future Aviation Security Solutions program, which has been aimed at a similar self-service concept in checkpoints. And this helps to place us in a very strong position for this tender. A decision on the tender is expected from the TSA in the coming month. As we also announced in September, the Australian Stroke Alliance presented its Stage 2 proposal for the Frontier Health Program, for which Micro-X is listed as an imaging technology provider to the Federal Government's Medical Research Future Funds Evaluation Panel. The program will focus on the development and testing of a lightweight stroke diagnostic imaging technology for use in land and air ambulances. If selected, Micro-X would receive around $15 million of funding, underpinning the development of this new medical product. I will now hand over to Kingsley to run through the financial activities for the quarter.
Thanks, Peter. I'll start by summarising the financial results reported in the quarterly activities and cash flow report lodged on the ASX with our Appendix 4C last Thursday, the 22nd of October. The results and the numbers I'll be referring to are all in Australian dollars, and in accordance with ASX listing rules, these are not audited. So for the quarter ended 30th of September 2020, we shipped and invoiced $400,000 of nano units and received a total of $1.9 million of customer receipts from sales of the Nano. On top of this, we received some grant income, GST receipts, and some COVID-related government assistance. Cash outflows from operations were $5.8 million, resulting in net operating cash outflows of $2.5 million. Our cash outflows from investing activities were $340,000, which was used to assist with product developments as well as rover and tube manufacturing capacity. Overall, we had net cash outflows of $2.8 million for the quarter, and at 30 September had a cash balance of $15.5 million. Looking ahead, forecast cash inflows will be supported by receipts from the first rover sales of $1.4 million, which will be received in the December quarter. We're also taking active measures to maintain rover production whilst carefully balancing our cash runway. I'll now hand it back to you, Peter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Moving forward, our focus for the immediate future is on maintaining commercial momentum with the rover, to secure regulatory approval across all global markets, as well as executing a sales agreement with Saab Australia for the JP2060 program. The finalization of this sale will demonstrate support from the Australian Department of Defence, adding credibility for future sales in the US, the UK, and other NATO forces. We remain determined to continue to showcase the rover across a number of US Army and Navy bases, with video conferencing already set up as an alternative until hands-on demonstration is possible. We also remain determined to prioritize our nano sales, especially as the pandemic continues with second waves growing every day more serious. Between now and December, we also look forward to a decision on the TSA tenders for airport checkpoints and for funding for the MRFF for the stroke CT imaging project. We've put a lot of work into both proposals, which will lead to important new products for MicroX with huge addressable markets, and we remain cautiously optimistic. So in summary, we have a number of significant commercial initiatives in the pipeline, which will make a big difference to MicroX's future and on which we look forward to reporting in the coming months. I would add that we have our annual general meeting coming up shortly on Wednesday, the 18th of November. And this year we've opted for a Zoom-based meeting. If you haven't already, please take the time to vote, and we would love to have as many of you as possible join the meeting. I'll now pass you back to the operator, Kaylee, who will commence the Q&A portion of this call.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. We will just pause for a moment to allow questioners to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Scott Power with Morgans Financial.
Oh, good morning, Peter and Kingsley. Congratulations on a great quarter. Just wondering if we could circle back to your manufacturing capacity. Could you just remind us what volume of product you can get through each month, please?
Sure. We're currently making at the rate of 2 units a day. So that's roughly 10 a week, with the option to do a bit more for bursts such as we're doing right now for the Pacific Islands on Rover.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Peter. And also, I'm just wondering if you could expand a little bit on the TSA arrangement that you've got in place. It sounds very exciting. And you mentioned that you'd done some work with the UK government as well. So just perhaps recap and expand on that whole process. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. MicroX has actually been at the center of how this concept has evolved. We got a first contract from the British government, the Department for Transport there, for a program that they called Finding Explosives in Electronics. And we discovered that our backscatter technology developed for the MBI was really good at doing that. We won that proposal, and they were proposing a little mobile. What they wanted was a mobile hand luggage scanner, which we kind of configured about the same size as a drinks trolley would be on an airplane, if anybody remembers airplanes. And their idea was that they were using that in air bridges for secondary screening on specialized flights. But then as the contract developed, the British government suddenly realized that this could actually be, with a bit of help from the head of security at Heathrow Airport, that this concept could be applied to a self-service checkpoint. So we got a second contract from the UK government to look at how we could develop that into three-dimensional imaging to help that self-service concept for a more integrated luggage loads. And then we were talking to the TSA. They got quite excited about the proposal. And then about 2 months ago, they put out a BAA to which we responded. We got shortlisted and then invited to give a full proposal. We're in a pretty good place because we think we're the only people who can do this self-screening technology using something so small, which is obviously key to put in a self-service portal, because just like, you know, the banks of passport readers that you get at airports now, the whole idea for this is to have quite a lot of them to deal with the queue simultaneously.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Peter, and we'll look forward to some decision from the TSA in the next month or so, by the sound of it. Thank you.
You and me both.
Your next question comes from Sven Restel with Lodge Partners.
Yes, hi, Peter. I would like to know a bit more color on the subcontracting. What does it actually entail?
Hi, Sven. It's basically in line with what we tendered. You know, the JP 2060 was a prime contract, a turnkey contract that the Department of Defense let for an entire mobile deployable hospital, and that was everything from tents and tent bags, beds, respirators, operating theaters. There were five companies tendered for it. All of them obviously worked out from talking to the Second General Health Battalion that we were the favored solution, so they all came to us for a radiology bid. So we were we tendered five times, but which was the downside. The upside was we couldn't really lose. Saab won the contract. And you know, what we've supplied was really what was requested in the tender. So we're just finalizing the pricing now, but it'll be about a $1.3 million contract. And it's for rovers and associated detectors and imaging and battery chargers and connections. So it's an integrated package, as most of the military business is.
Yeah, thank you. And also, did you get any feedback from clients from the recent nano sales?
It's been very hard to get that from at least from offshore, because obviously these units have been going into pandemics where the access to hospitals is very difficult, and B, the hospitals are very badly overloaded. So there hasn't been a huge amount. Certainly from the Australian hospitals where we've supplied nanos, we've had very, very good, very, very good feedback. And the thing they love the most is how quickly you can clean it, because you have to, obviously in a COVID environment, you have to do a disinfection procedure after every X-ray. The nano being so small and not having external cables and stuff makes it a very, very quick unit to clean. So that, and the, you know, the extreme portability has the feedback's been it's a highly, highly productive machine. So they're very happy.
Okay, thank you. And also lastly, with COVID currently going on, does the purchasing period in December for the hospitals still apply?
I don't think so. The global mobile X-ray market just changed hugely with COVID. I mean, a huge amount of demand just happened with that first surge in the early part of the year. So I think all the normal purchasing cycles that you'd expect just don't apply anymore. Hospitals around the world have just had their capital budgets turned upside down, and a lot of the purchasing isn't being done by hospitals; it's been done by government entities, you know, and they're purchasing based on their assessment of, you know, how the situation, you know, may develop, to make sure that they've got the capability provided in advance of the need.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's all.
Thanks, Ben.
Your next question comes from Andrew Smith with Perennial.
Hi, just a couple of questions. Just want to get a feel for the outlook for nano sales. You touched on it just a bit just now, but just how the pipeline's looking there.
Well, I mean, to be blunt, I mean, there isn't a pipeline. That the sort of concept of a pipeline is for the 90-day sales process is what used to happen. But what we've seen this year is just, and what we've been reacting to be able to provide is just an instantaneous response. There's no predicting when a local health authority or a government will go out to tender and say, "I need X nanos," and the day before they ask for supply, nobody knew they were going to. So it's really impossible to predict. It's just a matter of being ready. So we're we've learned from earlier this year, so we're poised and ready. We've got all the stuff in on the shelves in and partially built in Adelaide. So we're able to do some very, very quick turnarounds now, and that's the best way we can position ourselves for whatever happens. But don't think there's any predicting it. There's no process to it at the moment.
That makes sense. Any of those tenders come out during October or more recently?
No, haven't. As I mentioned, we're talking with Carestream. They're expecting it, but haven't seen any tender activity yet. But it's just really starting to take off and panic people across the world now. So it, yeah, we just no idea what could happen.
Okay. And then the Talis relationship, and obviously you've got the convertible there. Can you just remind me on that and how that's likely to play out?
Yeah, look, fair to say both Talis and ourselves have seen the development of the MBI, which is the main thing we're working on, evolve a lot over the last 12-15 months since we entered the collaboration and the convertible loan funding arrangements back in July last year. The big thing here is that the engineering team at Microx has developed a novel approach to achieve this much better imaging product for the future MBI end users in a much smaller package than we originally thought possible. I can't go into details at this stage because we plan to lodge a patent application for this, but it will considerably simplify the whole product design, including the X-ray tube, and it will save a lot of development time and cost, as well as giving us a cheaper product to build. We've got a prototype of that X-ray imaging system now operating in Adelaide, and as soon as we get this specialized detector comes off the plane from London, we'll be able to complete that testing, and that'll confirm a whole new direction for the project. So at this stage, there's been very little development work required from Talis, as we're running all the system test work here. Assuming the tests are conclusive and support the preliminary results that we've got for this much simplified product, then the remaining development work will take less time and less effort, and thus will be at a greatly reduced cost. Now, that will mean both Talis and ourselves will probably need to sit down and reassess what each of us needs to do from here in terms of development and the revised project costs. So the knock-on effect is that the expecting savings in the MBI program will impact our need to have Talis do as much work as we originally thought, and consequently, our need to draw down on the second half of the loan to pay for that will be diminished. We can't probably say definitively what that program will look like in terms of a reduced timeframe and budget, but this innovation is pretty exciting news for Microx, actually, because and for shareholders, because the value proposition for this product is even better, and it'll be ready for market much earlier than expected.
That's great to hear. Look forward to tracking developments there. And then final question for me, could you just elaborate on the military sales cycle? How many Rover units are sort of out in the field or getting shipped for testing, and just step me through
We've got two units over there, which will allow us to do two demonstrations simultaneously. We've got a lot of interest. We've done two video conference presentations. Obviously, the difficulty, as I just mentioned, is getting on base and getting a unit on base. But both those have been very the people on the call have been very excited, and they are progressing to get a unit access to the base. So exactly when they'll be able to do that because of the COVID situation, as I said, two of them are actually closed, hopefully in coming weeks.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Rowland for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, Kayleigh. In closing, we're very pleased that with what we set out to achieve last quarter, with the acceleration of the Rover's commercialization and our increased production capacity achieved for both Rover and Nano. They're obviously built on the same line. We also believe we've set the groundwork to achieve much stronger results in this financial year with a number of initiatives starting to take off. So thank you again for your patience and support of MicroX and for joining us on our investor call. I look forward to speaking with you again shortly to report on our progress.